Thank you. Thank you very much. May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Can you all hear me okay? Because that's so good. Okay, brilliant. Well, can I firstly thank you for your kind invitation to come and speak and your warm welcome. And it is really good to be with you this morning. It's been great. When I was leaving this morning, a couple of our congregation said, "Where are you going, Steve?" I said, "I'm going to the Rosie Community Church." What's it all about? I said, "Well, it's a pulpit exchange." And I left her. I'm convinced that she's now convinced that our pulpit will now appear on eBay today. So just to introduce myself, thank you, Eric, obviously the introduction, but I'm Steve Hammers, the other side, licensed reader. I've been in that post now for some 4.5 years. I've been a lifelong member at St. Michael's at Brayton, my home church. I've lived in Brayton all my life, born on a house on the main road just next to the old Castle pub. Some of you may know it. They knocked that down when they widened the road, and we moved up Culpit Lane, and I've lived up there ever since. So I'm a lifelong Braytonian. Outside of church, I'm chair of the Brayton Carnival Committee. Otherwise, everybody came to our carnival. First time in 27 years we had one at Brayton this year. And in my spare time, such as it is, I'm a sports fan. And just for good measure, I'm a season ticket holder at Aston Villa. Who was supported by the future King of England, by the way. You may already be questioning my sanity then after that revelation. So, I'll start this morning with a question. What do all of us here today have in common? Jesus, yeah. So we're all Christians, aren't we? We all have the same conviction. We're all Christians. By definition, we're followers of Christ. And we're called, I believe, to serve according to our own God-given abilities. And most importantly, in that act of serving, to try in our own humble way to reflect that some of that sort of Christ-like ethos and that common faith that we all share, not only in our words, but in our actions. And take that to heart, really. Words and actions together. And the combination of both word and action is, I believe, paramount in what I term as having a viable Christian faith. The two together are most important, don't they? So I want us today to consider serving as an act of our Christianity. How does each of us serve as Christians? So we may serve our own particular churches in the duties we perform on a regular basis. Some of us in the sphere of formal ministry, like myself, there. Some by holding particular offices within church, maybe as a treasurer or a social secretary. Some may be involved with the enhancement of worship and praise with their musical abilities, like you guys this morning. Or by reading scripture passages or leading intercessions, and some by doing simple yet vitally important things like the cups of tea and the cleaning. So within the church building, as it were, we're serving, are we not, on a regular basis. And also we're easily recognised as a Christian. But what about outside our particular churches and our acts of worship? I don't know about you, but I think being a Christian is a tough ask, isn't it, sometimes? It really is. It's often a hard road, and sometimes I guess it can feel quite a lonely road. Even though our Lord Jesus Christ, doesn't he not? He tells us at the end of Matthew's Gospel in that great commission, "I am with you even until the end of the age." Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that just a great promise? It's a great statement, and he just makes me want to go, yes, you know, when you're feeling yes, great. And being a follower of Christ is without doubt, is it not, a 24/7 commitment. And within that 24/7 commitment is contained the majority of our time. And that, I guess, goes for most of us here today, that most of our time is spent away from this building, in my case, away from St. Michael's. So today I'd like to tell you a bit about what I do for a living and how I came to be in my particular job that I do. I'd like to take you back to a tranquil, sunlit afternoon in mid-September 2008. And I was on holiday visiting my friends in my favourite part of the world, West Cork. I don't know whether anybody's ever been there in the Irish Republic. It's a fabulous place. If you've not been, do try and visit it. It's stunningly beautiful, and it's also a very spiritual place as well. And the locals in Gaelic will refer to it as Muntibera, which means a place near God or people that are nearer God. Forgive me if my pronunciation and translation aren't correct, but yeah, I guess you get my drift. And I was sitting on that afternoon at the Mizzen Head Peninsula, right on the Mizzen Head, which is Ireland's most southwesterly point. And as I looked out on my left, I could see the Fastnet Rock and the lighthouse of the same name. You probably recognise the name Fastnet. You hear it on the shipping forecast on good old Radio 4, which interrupts the cricket when you just went going to the vital bit. And the rest of the horizon, there was just the vastness of the Atlantic Ocean. Nothing but water between me and the next landfall. And if you go due west, you finish up in Newfoundland. That's where you go. And I was pondering the prospect of being made redundant for the second time in 2.5 years. And I started to feel the kind of anxiety, if you've got a problem, you wake up about 5 o'clock in the morning and all the adrenaline sort of comes up to there and everything seems worse because it's dark outside. And I guess I was in that state for about 10 minutes. And then I suddenly thought to myself, come on, Steve, get a grip. So, come on, just think about this. Look out there in front of you. If God's so great as to be able to create the vast beauty sent out in front of you, then surely you can trust him to look after you and your future. If only you'll put your trust in him. And immediately the feeling of anxiety subsided. And I was filled with an overwhelming assurance, more than just one of those gut feelings you can get. And I believe God was speaking to me at that moment and saying, listen, Stephen, I've been doing this job for a long time. So I think I can sort your problems out. No problem at all. And just to point that to Rob over there, what a brave man you are. That's what I say to you. To turn down the opportunity of employment because you put God first. You want to come to church first on a Sunday. And I think that man deserves a big round of applause. You put God first, because God puts us first every time, doesn't he? And it's good to reciprocate. And so we all know God's time frame. It isn't the same as ours, is it? So for the next month, I did some freelance driving. And then a friend at an agency rung me up, and he gave me 4 months of employment working with Sandwell Council on the environmental health team. Now, when I started training as minister for ministry, they said to me, you'll have to get your hands dirty sometimes. Well, let me tell you, Sandwell Council environmental team have exactly the same maxim, trust me. But the real watershed moment for me came Monday the 21st of April 2009. It was a gloriously sunny, warm spring day, and I was visiting some friends of mine in Barmouth. Many of you may remember, do you remember Dean's Butcher Shop in the town? Yeah, well, I was visiting Mr. and Mrs. Dean. Sadly, Mrs. Dean's now passed from us. But they retired to Barmouth, and I was sitting on the lawn with them, and I received a phone call from the guy at the agency. He said, I've got something that'll suit your warehouse and your transport background. I was invited to go for an interview at Independent Living Service of Wolverhampton City Council. They liked my CV, and they said quite early in the piece, any chance you could start tomorrow? Now, when you know you get a feeling about a place or a situation that says, this is right, well, that was that place and that situation. And I went home knowing that God rewarded me for putting my trust in him, just as he rewarded you. I started the next day, and I've been there ever since. And what I do, I'm responsible for the warehousing, maintenance and supply of hundreds of different pieces of equipment designed to assist those who have a disability or are terminally ill. A bit like your quad stick here. I've got loads of those in the store. That's the kind of thing we use. We have beds, hoists and various bits and pieces. They're always inventing something new, something for every particular situation. And I assist those who have the disability who are terminally ill. And we don't only just supply equipment. We deal with two very special and very precious commodities, which I think they're special. We do as a team. Their independence and dignity. They're very, very special. We can gain a degree of independence for people, though we've got independence for people who may be finding tasks difficult. And we're also able, in the last stages of life, to give people and their families the dignity that they deserve. And I work closely with occupational therapists, with Macmillan nurses, the nursing teams of West Park and New Cross Hospital, and also the team of district nurses throughout the Wolverhampton area. And I tell you, it's without a shadow of a doubt the best job I've ever had in my entire working life. And by the way, they actually pay me. Now, that's what I call a result. So this now got me thinking about how my working life serving the community parallels my Christian life in serving God. And so the question I then asked myself was, what would the Christian equivalent be of my day-to-day job with the council? So I thought about that, and after some time, I guess it became apparent that maybe pastoral care and visiting was about the equivalent. So is anybody involved in the pastoral care here? No doubt, yeah, and it is a very rewarding, it's hard work sometimes, but it's a very rewarding job, I know. Well, I find mine would, I'm sure you do with yours as well. So let's consider me when I go out to do a follow-up visit with an occupational therapist or a clinician, or to do an installation or a repair. What's the most important thing that I take with me? My toolkit. I brought one of my toolboxes today. The one still at work contains ratchets and specialist spanners and Allen keys and bits and pieces. This one, though, however, has lots of bits and pieces that I've gathered over the years and saved up for when they might become useful. And I'll go, Steve, what you got that for? I said, just watch me. One day it'll become useful, like a left-handed screwdriver, or something like that. I'm glad you're with me. Well done. Keep up. So, the thing is, let me have a look, see what we've got in my treasure chest. So, I'm going to open my tool. Can everybody see my toolbox? Right. Let's have our butchers in here, see what we've got. Right. Now, the first thing I've got is this piece of kit. This is great, this is. Because what you can do with this, you put it on your head like this, and then, I think the battery's flat at the moment, and then you can use both hands, you see, because I'm often in a position where I might be under somebody's bed. Believe me, you would not. There's some very strange things under people's beds in Wolverhampton. And just occasionally, you'll put your hand down and you go, that doesn't feel good. But obviously, sometimes the bed may have broken at one of these hospital beds, and I'll be underneath it. Fortunately, I'm not a very big lad, so I can get underneath when it's pretty low. But I need both hands to fiddle about, so I've got my light there, which is great for me. So it's quite an adventure under the beds, believe me. So what else have I got? Got a couple of three spanners of different sizes on here, which I take with me. Things. The police say something's loose on my wheelchair, or something's loose on this, or something on the rails. So I've got my spanners as well. So I'm tighten things down and refirm things. And then what else have I got? In the bottom of it. Hold on. What about one couple of these? I'll give you a clue. I've got four of these in there. Can anybody see this? You know what that is? It's to raise a chair, yeah. Do you want a job? It raises it. I can put these on chairs and I'll raise them up a bit further. So if something's a bit too low and it's a bit hard to get up off, you can put these on. It makes it a bit, and it gives somebody a boost on a particular chair. It goes on a particular type of chair which we supply. So I've got chair raisers as well. And I've got stripy tape. I've got some stripy tape. Now, the council loves stripy tape, trust me. We've got loads of this stuff. And what I do with this, if I go out to somewhere and maybe something's not working right and the carers are there in the home, I'll maybe put some stripy tape and say, don't use it. I'll send the guys with the van to come and collect it if it's something big that I can't bring back. So it's sort of like warns everybody that it's been that there is a sort of danger there, or it's been, I've had to condemn the piece to take it back and get it mended. So I've got my stripy tape. One last thing. Label remover. This is good stuff. Quick squirt of this. And all the labels you can stick on things? Well, it helps to get them off, And obviously, sometimes when I'm servicing a piece of kit, I need to take the old service label off and put a new one on. I can't have more than one label on a piece of kit, and we don't put them over the top of each other because one could come off and the other one would be underneath. So we have to remove them and make sure there's just one label. So that's handy for a quick squirt of that. It helps me get the labels off. So that's a label remover. So there's just five things out of my toolkit. Now, here's the question then I posed to you this morning. When you go on a pastoral visit to represent your church, what is your toolkit, do you reckon? Anybody? Good man. Give that man a prize. There is your toolkit. There it is. There's your toolkit. There's a piece of scripture for every occasion. Just like my box, I've saved up bits and pieces. We can save up the knowledge in here, can't we? The bits and pieces, and they'll come in useful on every particular occasion. It's good to have that for me, to know our way around that, as I hopefully know my way around my toolbox. And it contains all that advice for young and old, whatever circumstance we may be in. And so, bearing that in mind, let's look again at the objects from my own work and see how they relate to this. So, what have we got? I'm going to put these on so I can see what's going on. Isn't it funny, you know? The older you get, the writing gets smaller. It's really strange. So, I've got my light, and I thought, well, what's an equivalent? How about in the first chapter of John's Gospel? In him was life, and that life was a light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then I think, well, what about the spanners? It needs to be firmed up. Something needs reassuring. They need to be made firm again. They're feeling a bit wobbly. So, what am I thinking to myself? I think, well, let's have a quick delve into my other toolbox. How about Romans chapter 8, verses 35 to 39? I think this is one of my favourite of all scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written? For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that the most powerful thing you can ever? It's just brilliant, isn't it? And that, I think, firms people up again when they're feeling very sort of loose and sort of wobbly, shall we say. And then, let's think about my chair raisers next. So, somebody might be feeling a bit low. And when you're low, it's hard to pick yourself up. And I guess you guys are there feeling that at the moment. You're feeling low at the moment, maybe. And to be picked up, we need to be able to pick up to get a boost. And I go back, really, to the Great Commission, which I spoke about a bit earlier, in Matthew 28, at the very end, when our Lord Jesus Christ says, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." That's a great pick-me-up, that is, as well. A good tonic, I think. And so then, I've gone to my striped tape next. In the stripy tape. And when someone feels threatened or there's perceived danger maybe in their lifestyle or to their spiritual well-being, it needs to be put aside. Maybe we need to sort of like warn them of this to make sure everybody knows that then they know the danger. So I thought, well, what about that? How about we go back to the Psalms? Psalm 91, verses 5 and 6. "You'll not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." And I think that gives reassurance there and helps us in that particular situation. And finally, my label remover. People get labelled, don't they? They get labelled sometimes, and they get labelled. Maybe they label themselves with low self-esteem. Maybe they fall foul of people on social media. Social media can be a wonderful thing, but also be a very, very cruel and cruel thing. And labels need to be removed for the person's well-being. So I'm thinking to myself, well, what can we do here? I know. How about a quick square to one of the prophets? Joshua, for instance. And his chapter 1, verse 9, when he says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So there's just five examples of how the tools in my box equate to the tools in our Christian toolbox here. So really, I guess my toolkit in my working life isn't all that dissimilar from the one we carry with us in our Christian lives. Also, I work as part of a team with all those clinicians and occupational therapists to provide the best possible support for people. And I'm part of a body, And as we know, all parts of our body need to be in harmony to allow the body to function at its most effective. And we heard about reading about the body in the Romans reading earlier on. And we all have different skills, don't we? Just as each part of a body may have a different function to perform. And Paul tells us that in that first reading. The act of serving as well, you know, it changes us, doesn't it? It changes us. And the change is in the realisation, whether that service is within the church environment or outside of it, in our everyday lives, it's realisation that that work is something we're called to do in God's name. It is that knowledge that all tasks are worthwhile in his eyes, from brain surgeon to street cleaner, from church minister to church cleaner. That realisation gives our work, I think, fresh impetus, fresh meaning, and fresh enthusiasm. There's also the God-given opportunity to be able to work together as churches. We in our own particular churches are all part of the same body of Christ on earth here today, aren't we? Now, you here in this community church, at the very centre of project, it's been instrumental in both serving the community and bringing together the various churches in the area. I refer, of course, to the wonderful work you're doing in connection with the food bank. Sadly, it's a fact, is it not, that this food bank and those throughout Britain are becoming more and more high profile. We hear more about them in the news now. It's strange, really, because it's one of those projects that we pray that we will no longer need. But it's a fact that we need it. Serving, I believe, in any capacity, is a privilege, a God-given privilege. I know I consider the job to which God led me is an absolute privilege each and every working day. I always bring that thought to mind. In the action of serving, we're changed. We're an effective body in this community. Let us hope and pray that at the end of the week of prayer for Christian unity, that initiatives in place will continue to benefit those they seek to serve and also continue to shape our local churches of every denomination into one strong and healthy body. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the services which were held during the week of prayer for Christian unity. We thank you, Lord, for the pulpit exchanges which are taking place today. We pray for your church here. We pray, Lord, for all those who come to worship here as a body, a Christian body. We pray, Lord, that we can continue to work together to gain strength from working together. Pray for the food bank project, for all those who administer it, for those who benefit from it. We pray, Lord, that one day the need will no longer be there and everyone will have enough food. We pray, Lord, in all our hearts for that. And we know, Lord, that we are your body on earth. We pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us and lead us and guide us in all that we do. And it is your will that is done and not ours. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Just one final thing I want to share with you as well. You know, it doesn't matter whether... I know people are saying, well, you go to church, you don't have any problems at all, do you? Get real. You must be joking. You must be kidding. So I think to myself, sometimes, you know, life can get a bit sort of wobbly, can't it? You know, you feel a bit like that, don't you? That's when your toolkit comes in. Because not only is it a good spiritual guide, I'll tell you what, it's a really good practical guide as well. It keeps you firm. Amen.